looking into the ninth month.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the Morning Open, a look at the broader economy as we're just 20 minutes into the trading day. There's just something about September. Bank of America with a little give back, and P&G goes with USOT. First, there's something about this question. Where's Wall Street? Markets are up here stateside. The S&P up about 0.25%. NASDAQ about 0.7%. The Dow is up about 0.25% at this hour, up about 18 points at 95.14. European shares are lower today, and Asian shares closed up mostly under 1%. So that's our welcome to September. Let's get a preview of what we can expect this month from Julie Neiman. She's an analyst over at Smith Moore & Company. She joins us live from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So we start a month today that doesn't have the best economic reputation. I mean, really, September's featured some pretty negative stuff. One example being, and a couple of big examples, I should say, the unraveling of markets before the crashes of 1929 and 1987. There are many other examples, too. Why, Julie, are investors so sorrowful in this month?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, it's summer trading, very light trading volume. People really are off on vacation. When September comes, Congress comes back. That always makes everybody anxious. Tax selling actually starts to begin in September. Everybody starts to refocus on their portfolios. Let's clean out the dogs and cats. And some years, there are a lot of more barking dogs than there are ordinarily. Now, last year, a correction that was in process turned into a crash because we managed to avoid the real bullet of Bear Stearns here. Everybody thought things were going to be okay. And then Lehman Brothers came in. The government basically decided to let them fail, and that was the end of the really big unwinding coming in September and turned this whole thing into a crash.
Ah, the memories. I want to talk about this Wall Street Journal story and Bank of America's desire to pay back a portion of the $45 billion in bailout money that it took from Uncle Sam. Apparently, it wants the federal government off its back. And Julie, hang on a second. We're going to bring in Marketplace's Sam Eaton joining us live here in our Los Angeles studio. He's been working on this story all morning. Morning, Sam.
Morning, Steve.
So does this mean Bank of America's financial problems are solved?
Well, the short answer, Steve, is no. They could definitely use the cash. It's the strings that came attached to the bailout money that Bank of America wants nothing to do with. Those strings being increased scrutiny from Congress and federal regulators. Some of Bank of America's competitors, like Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, have already cut those ties by paying back their bailout funds in full. Bank of America, of course, doesn't want to be at a competitive disadvantage by being the only one still under the government's thumb, so it's offering to front a little less than half of the money if the government agrees to loosen the leash a little.
Mm. So what do you think, Julie Neiman, about B of A's sudden rush to return some of that bailout cash?
A little skeptical here, simply because they really want to get those bonuses in place as well. And you can't give big bonuses while you're still reporting problems here.
Sam Eaton, is this just a matter of cutting a check to the U.S. Treasuries? Is it that simple?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that, mostly because of this tentative agreement Bank of America made with the government to share the losses on its so-called toxic assets. That deal, along with the bailout money, led to a rally in Bank of America's share prices. And now the government wants a $500 million thank you payment in exchange for ending the agreement. At first, Bank of America balked at the suggestion, but now it looks like it's willing to seek a compromise in order to get the deal through.
All right. Julie Neiman joining us from St. Louis. Julie, thanks.
You bet.
We do appreciate it. Marketplace's Sam Eaton here in the studio. Sam, thanks for joining us this
morning.
Thanks,
Steve.
We appreciate it. A new poll shows Americans are increasingly dissatisfied with credit cards. J.D. Powers and Associates says 20% of consumers found an increase in their interest rates within the past year. Not surprisingly, the largest decline in satisfaction comes from so-called revolvers. Now, those are customers who carry a balance from month to month. The poll also found 18% of cardholders complained about various fees. That's up from 10% just a year earlier. Listening to the Morning Report for Tuesday, September 1st, 2009, at marketplace.org. eBay has apparently come to an agreement to sell its internet phone company, Skype. The New York Times reports the deal could be announced later today. As our man in London, Stephen Beard, reports, it looks like Skype is going to private investors.
eBay has been trying to sell Skype for some time. The company admits that buying the internet phone service 4 years ago was a mistake. The plan to have its customers communicate by Skype did not pan out. Online buyers and sellers prefer to have their transactions in writing by email or text. But eBay's misery may soon be over. The New York Times says the company's agreed to sell Skype to a group of private equity firms and other investors. Barry Fox of New Science magazine says a sale at this time is rather surprising.
There's a dispute now, a legal dispute, between eBay and the original owners about who owns the core technology. If you're going to buy a company, would you really want a legal case unresolved as part of the deal?
That case will be heard in the British High Court next year. The sale price for Skype has not been revealed. eBay has been seeking $2 billion, about a billion less than it paid for the company. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Commerce Department reports this morning that total U.S. construction spending fell 0.2% in July to the lowest rate since February of 2004. But there is one bright spot in residential construction, as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Construction spending is expected to be up for single-family homes. That's sparked in part by first-time homebuyers, attracted by low prices and government tax credits. For the past year, construction jobs have been vanishing and small contractors going out of business. Economist Brian Bethune of IHS Global Insight says that's starting to turn around.
I don't know that we're going to see much in terms of gains in construction jobs, but at a minimum, it's going to help keep some of those tradesmen a little busier than what they were.
Tradesmen like carpenter Jarrett Maxwell, he's trying to get his cabinet-making business off the ground in Oklahoma City.
Earlier this year, I was working sometimes as little as a few hours a week. Right now, I've got probably two or three jobs lined up, and it seems to be a little more steady.
Economist Brian Bethune says as the big home builders begin to rebound, there's likely to be more work for everyone. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Across the country, small to medium-sized banks are having a tough time competing with larger banks and their big advertising budgets. And many small lenders are turning to unconventional methods to attract attention. From station WUWM in Milwaukee, reporter Marty Michelson filed this report.
Pony Express Delivery?
Yeah. It's a scene from the Old West, kind of. 17-year-old Alyssa Audley is dressed in pink chaps and a matching cowboy hat and rides a chocolate brown mare to the front door of a computer software business. She hands the manager some mail. In this case, the mail is promotional literature for a local bank. Mark Berg is marketing director for Sunset Bank, a lender with about 8,000 depositors in Waukesha, Wisconsin. He dreamed up the Pony Express idea as a way to attract more customers.
You know, Western themes are big right now. Country music is huge. I mean, bull riding on TV. So I thought about a bucking bronc or a bucking bull, and we're going to give away $100. So it made sense.
In the past, Sunset Bank has tried other promotional gimmicks like free gourmet coffee, car washes, and teddy bears. But Berg says with intensifying competition, it was time to step it up a notch.
If you drive around Waukesha, virtually every corner is going to have a bank, a credit union, a check cashing place, or a mortgage broker.
Other small banks across the country are resorting to promotional gimmicks, too. One bank posted a man dressed as Uncle Sam outside the front door to wave potential customers inside. Another installed a giant pink inflatable piggy bank on its lawn to attract attention. Carol Kaplan is with the American Bankers Association.
A small bank has more at stake in the small market and more likely to know what might go over well in their community.
Sunset Bank's Mark Berg says the Pony Express promotion stopped by more than 100 businesses in its three-day run. He says already a handful of new customers have opened accounts at the bank. In Milwaukee, I'm Marty Michelson for Marketplace.
Starting today, same-sex couples can legally marry in Vermont. That should mean big business for Vermont's gay-friendly tourism industry, right? Not necessarily. From Vermont Public Radio, Ross Sneed reports.
Last summer, Michael and Jay Shepard had 80 guests at their poolside civil union. Jay Shepard says now they'll exchange the same rings in a small ceremony at home, but that's the most they plan to do.
Mostly because of the big event that we made it before and the amount of money that was spent, and now that that money's not available anymore.
And that means no big bonanza for the travel industry like there was in 2000, when Vermont was the only state where same-sex partners could have legal ceremonies. Tim Shea is with the Burlington Area Chamber of Commerce.
Unlike 9 years ago, it doesn't appear so far that there's been the immediate demand, but we're hopeful over time that Vermont will continue to be a popular place for weddings.
More than 80% of Vermont civil unions were between out-of-state couples, but now there's stiff competition. By the end of the year, same-sex marriage will be legal in four other New England states. From Burlington, Vermont, I'm Ross Sneed for Marketplace.
Finally, 29-year-old unemployed Aaron Heidemann wants to creatively tell the story of the American recession while thumbing his nose at it. In his orange 1989 Dodge van, the Oregon artist's been traveling the country asking people about their stories of the downturn. He says he's collected thousands of them, some written on the van itself. Heidemann will complete his travels, if the van makes it, in Michigan, where he'll enter his Man in the Van project in a big art competition there. The grand prize? A recession-busting $250,000. Hey, you can share your stories about the recession with us as well at our website, marketplace.org. Scott Jagow, our online host and blogger, is there with the scratch pad inside marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.